Welcome to an iPhone 3GS Special Edition podcast from Digital Outbox. Hello, and thanks for joining us again. I'm Shaquille, and joining me as always is Ian.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, and you?
Good, good, I'm fine, thanks. So, here we are again, on to our first Special Edition podcast.
Yep, two episodes down and we're being twatty already and we've got a special edition.
Yeah, well, this one is all about iPhone 3GS and OS 3.0.
Yep, well, so, we'd a lot to talk about, we felt, so we thought splitting it up would be a better option.
Definitely. So, let's start. I think the first thing we should probably cover is OS 3.0. And I've downloaded it. Thanks to you, I downloaded it a few days earlier than usual.
Yeah, well, it just seemed kind of pointless waiting until the Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, normally I wouldn't risk anything like that, but like you said, if it was the actual gold edition of the, you know, the file, then yeah.
So, well, I mean, it had come out that, I think it was the day after WWDC that it came out. I think Gizmodo was the first to post up, and it was on the torrents, and it was just last weekend, and I thought, let's just get it installed. I had a busy week. And I just didn't think I would have the time, you know, Wednesday night, Thursday night, to get it installed. And I'm glad I did.
How did you find the installation procedure?
Oh, slow.
Other than the slowness, was it okay? Any issues?
Major no, issues? It all went fine. Yourself?
Mm. Yep, same again. It's like a little bit, you know, lengthy procedure, but
yeah,
just follow the steps in Gizmodo and, yeah, it was up and running within an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours.
Yeah, it just took ages for me. Just so slow.
You have 90 gigs worth of media, though. So.
Not on my iPhone. But I mean, okay. Fair enough. I think I've only got a half gig free, so there was a lot to copy back. But it just feel like it's not the media. It's the applications seem to take forever to install. Mm.
Okay, so shall we maybe cover the features and some of the new features that OS 3
brings?
Yeah,
we can rattle through some of those.
Right, the main one for me, which I've been complaining about since day one, MMS.
Ah, okay.
Finally, I can send MMS, but I think for me the biggest gripe was not being able to receive MMS, having to go to that O2 website, putting that skanky code and, you know, looking at it.
Yeah, and it's not O2's fault.
No, it's not. No, it's Apple's fault.
I don't know in America if MMS is that popular, but I think for here that should have been out version 1.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, whether it was just because Americans don't want it or whether it was pressure from other countries, you know, users in the other countries that Apple actually conceded. But it's here now and it works really well. I've tried it a couple of times and it's nice to know that actually your media appears in the same window as your text messages. Yeah. It'll pop up and you just, or speech bubble, should I say, and you just press it. You can watch your video clips and your photos.
Well, that's what I was just checking. Is it photos, or can you do videos as well?
Well, I have no videos on mine, so I can't really test it. I would imagine a video would just appear in the same format, and when you click on it, it would probably launch QuickTime.
Yeah, I'm just... I'm just trying to test it just now.
Okay. Well, while you're doing that, I suppose the next big feature is Spotlight, which I found really useful. Most of the time I try to organise my pages into specific categories and my settings are on the very last page, and I think I'm on about 6 pages at the moment. So it takes forever to like scroll right to the end to get my settings, and it's so nice now just going to Spotlight, type in SET and settings pops up and there I am within a couple of seconds.
I must admit, I still need to train myself to go left, you know, and actually do the search, which is quicker than going right.
Did you know that, you know, like when you press the home button, if you're on a different page, it takes you back to page 1, but if you press it again, it takes you to the Spotlight page?
Ah, that's quite nice. I didn't know that. That is nice. Can you set it up that if you press home from another page, it just goes straight to Spotlight?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but I know in the settings section, there are only about five or six categories that you can select for the double click. So I don't think it's there, though, I'm pretty sure.
You can double click the home button, and you can, so it's from anywhere, you can double click it and it would launch search.
Okay.
So yeah, I've just hit home and you can pick search. So if I then go to another page and double click, yeah, that works really nice.
I think I've set my double click up to take me to my music instead.
Yeah, and mine's used to go to phone favourites, but I think I'll do the double click for the search instead.
Definitely.
But the search is nice. I'm actually quite pleased with how fast it is as well.
It is. I tried a little test. I think I was looking for a keyword in one of my emails and I actually started typing it out, thinking it will take forever. Because in my mind, I thought, well, search is your applications and then your music maybe. And then finally it will go into your emails. But it was just almost instantaneous. It just finds it really, really quick.
Yeah.
So another feature, cut, copy and paste. Well, how do you find that?
It's fine. It's, well, I can't see me using it that much. It's and again, I mean, people have said, "Oh, it should have been there since day one." But even if it was there, I think it would be. I mean, I could probably count the, I don't know, 6-7 times. I'd probably use it over the last year.
I think I agree with you. There have been a few situations where I thought, "Oh, I want to copy this text from one of my notes, paste it into an email."
Yeah,
and you can do that. So it would have been useful then, but so far I haven't really had the need to use it.
No, I think it's maybe been things like, you know, as you're saying, if it's a note or somebody sent me an email and the link's not formatted or it's a type in this code number or go and look up a parcel number, you know, things like that where I've thought, and I can remember sitting at work and actually had to write a number down. I think it was a parcel force number that I wanted to search on their site. So for some things like that, it would be quite nice. I think the way it's been done is, you know, it works really well.
It's really, really nice. But, you know, I found something about it that kind of niggles at me. Sometimes when I'm typing out an email, I make an odd mistake or so, and only realise, like, once I'm on the second line or put 5-6 words onwards. So not normally when you hold down your finger and you can sort of drag it to a specific letter in a word.
Yep.
But if you do that now, the copy and paste option pops up when I don't really want it to pop up. I mean, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't really get in the way, but it just annoys me so much. I think it should know that I'm actually dragging the cursor to a specific location, and I don't want to copy, but, you know, I guess you can't really get away from that.
Yeah, I'm just seeing that just now. Because when you do that, it's coming up with a select or select all. I mean, usually
right,
I just...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what they could have really... done to get away from that.
No, I don't think you can, but it's just I'm just being a bit fussy, I think. Okay, next feature, voice record.
Yep.
I think it's quite a cool little idea if you like listening to your own voice.
you mean like us?
Yeah. You know, I could be sitting at work and I can make a mental note saying kill Ian or something like that and then come back and put my plans into action. But yes, it's not bad. And I think the nice thing about it is then you can... Can you email that directly from the application?
I think there's an email so you can... I think that was... I guess it is... I mean, in the App Store, there's been loads of voice recording apps. And if you've got Evernote installed, you can voice record. But I think just to have it there as part of the actual OS, and then once you've done your recording, you can actually... I'm just testing it just now, so I'm just stopping that recording. And...
Yeah, it's got the option to
email.
Yeah,
you can share. So you can email it or you can MMS as well.
Is that option there? I can't seem to see it anywhere.
Yeah,
if you click share it, it just says email for me.
I get MMS.
Okay, we'll come back to that later then.
Interesting.
Fantastic. Okay, push notifications.
Yeah,
I think that could be quite useful.
Definitely.
I've sort of put myself into the habit that every week or so I'll go into the App Store, check to see if there are any new updates. So it'd be nice to, you know, get notified instead of me having to do to search for it manually.
But my only worry about the push notifications is they all seem to be the same format. It's that little kind of reminder in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I just don't want to have lots of different notifications coming through. And I guess there is control in there that you can set for each application.
Yeah.
You know, so you can go into notifications, and I've got TapTap Revenge, and I can set badges and alerts.
Mm-hmm.
So I can turn alerts off and just have it on badges. Yeah. I'm sure the other applications will have the same control, because I'm going to want, you know, it might be for a news application. You know, BBC News brought something out, and it was, if I wanted UK politics, anything. You know, if I could go to that level of control and say, I want alerts on that, but I don't want alerts on, I don't know, you know, business or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it'd certainly be interesting to see how developers use this, whether, you know, it'll get annoying or whether it's just be one of these features that gets pushed to the back. You know, you don't really care for
it. Yeah, well, I know there's been a couple of people saying, oh, it'd be great to have a Twitter push notification.
No, but I don't think so.
No, neither do I. And I mean, and it shouldn't be down to each developer to put in. I mean, at the moment, each developer's got to put in place their own push notification system. You know, so for something like Twitter, you know, the developer of Tweety and TweetDeck, etc., would have to do their own solution.
Yeah.
So the obvious thing would be for somebody at Twitter to say, right, we'll host a service, and if you want to use it for like direct messages or whatever,
yeah,
then fine. I mean, I wouldn't want. I mean, it would surely nobody would want an alert every time somebody sends a tweet.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's more things like if it's a direct message. You know, I can see that being handier.
I read an article earlier this week about push notifications, and it was a bit of a misunderstanding, I think. The person who wrote the article assumed that if you have push notifications, then your iPhone is constantly...
connected,
yeah, and that is going to kill the battery life. Doesn't work like that, does it?
No.
That was the whole concept of push notifications, that the Apple server or the cloud, whatever they call it, that push notifications as soon as it receives them. Your iPhone is not permanently connected to anything. So let's get
that
clear.
That's crystal.
Crystal clear. Nice. This next thing that I find that quite interesting, and it'd be nice to see developers using it in an imaginative way. Peer-to-peer gaming.
Oh yeah, well the peer-to-peer connections. When I was down to use it on Thursday, you know, it was myself and one of my colleagues were flying up from Bristol. Both had iPhones, but there wasn't really any apps that could take advantage of it yet.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to that. And it was one of the quickest flights ever. It was, I don't know, must have been 2-3 years ago. Both of us had PSPs and were playing Grand Theft Auto. And it was just really nice to be on the plane playing with somebody, you know, I guess 10 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been something that's missing. You know, I think we mentioned it in our first podcast, Dark Knight last year, and we both had iPhones and we couldn't play a game against each other. It was quite annoying. So
again, let's clarify that. That doesn't use your Wi-Fi or anything like that, does it? It's
Bluetooth it's using.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, yeah, I'm sure we're going to see updates over the next sort of 2-3 months from a lot of the developers.
Well, remember, it'd be interesting to see. Sorry, carry on.
No, I was just going to say, it'd be interesting to see if there'll be free updates. I mean, there's most of the apps, I mean, they've not really supported this idea of paid for updates. It's all been free updates, and then there's been maybe like different versions of the software that you have to charge for. So,
yeah, I think that peer to peer, the only demonstration I've seen is, remember when they previewed that leaf trombone on stage once?
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing that I'd really want to get involved in, but the concept was really good, you know, just how you can interact with another person. Next feature, I think that's quite a useful one for most people. Landscape keyboards for emailing and text messages.
Definitely.
Especially for people with fat fingers, I think.
That's me.
You don't have fat fingers.
Oh, you know I do. Don't start. I noticed it straight away. Emails. I've got your landscape and I can get a lot quicker.
Yeah. Have you started using two thumbs? If you know what I mean. Yeah, so have I.
I think it works
better with landscape, doesn't it? I've forgotten all about that.
But yeah, it's and I guess when I see people using BlackBerries, they use the two thumbs, but just turning landscape, it just makes such a difference. Mm. And again, it's such an obvious thing. It's just a shame it's taken, you know, version 3 of the operating system for that to appear. Apart from one critical area, which I noticed our mate Chris pointed out. I don't know if you saw his blog post about OS 3 and how they've got this landscape keyboard everywhere apart from in Spotlight.
Oh, right, yeah.
So it's, and I just tried it in Spotlight and it doesn't work, but then mm-hmm. you get such a small window for your search results. I don't think it's really applicable.
Definitely. Sorry, I did read that article from your friend, and I think I have a few comments to make about that, but that's for another time.
we need to get him on, basically.
Yeah.
We need a third voice.
Yeah, the voice of reason.
The voice of reason. That ideal.
Okay, what about forwarding text messages and sending messages to multiple recipients?
Yeah, and again, it's just obvious things. You know, they've been in... I guess it's the kind of thing that is just default in the other phones that, that I've had over the years that I've not thought about it as a feature. I've just thought it's there.
Yeah.
So it was that... I remember when I first got... I didn't even notice it when you had the first iPhone. I only picked up the 3G.
Yeah.
And... I just couldn't believe it wasn't there. I was just really surprised at the time.
It'd be really interesting to get Apple's view on this. Why did they leave out some of these key features that have been available in other phones for years? You know,
I'd love to see
there's no technical reason for it.
I'd love to see their priority list.
Yeah.
You know, so for previous things like cut, copy, paste, I remember the excuse last year was, well, we've asked our customers and it's just not a high enough priority.
Hmm.
I look at some of the things they delivered in the last operating system upgrade, which was it 2.1 or 2.11? And some of the stuff was really lame compared to, you know, some things that people were screaming for.
Yeah.
So obviously we'd all love to be a fly on the wall and see that development team and how they prioritise.
Yeah. So it's good to have text forwarding anyway and multiple recipients.
Yeah.
That's one other thing.
And again, it's not something I'm going to use like loads and loads, but...
No.
It's nice to have.
I think forwarding text was biggie for me rather than multiple recipients, but...
Yeah.
It's here now, so we should stop complaining. Tethering.
Oh.
Not a feature that I can see myself using, but... I think it's there.
Well, I think it's nice, but the issue is the cost.
Mm.
You know, so we're paying... I'm paying O2 for an all-you-can-eat, you know, plan just now for internet, but then I'm going to have to pay, was it £15 for 3 gig?
It's expensive, yeah.
Yeah, and it just feels a lot of money.
Yeah. I think if you wanted to do that, you might as well go the whole hog and buy one of those, you know, those mobile devices that you can plug in here.
You'd be cheaper.
Mobile broadband,
you can get better deals, and that's the bit I don't understand. You know, I can go and buy one of these little USB sticks and get a better deal that way than I can. And it would just make more sense. I don't know, even if they did something where you're allowed, I don't know, a gig a month as part of your plan. You know, so you don't use it that. But then there's another way to look at it. If I'm away now, it's how many things I need internet access for that I can just do on my iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, so the browsing works fine. And fair enough, maybe on a bigger screen, be a bit easier.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. You know, like some people cry for features like tethering that only apply to, you know, like a very small minority of users. Most people, like average person on the street, you know, if they're going to be using their laptop, they're going to be using it in an area where they've got Wi-Fi already. You know, that's going to be at home or at work. You know, very few people actually go out into the park and sit there with a... laptops and surf the net. It's not what you go to the park for. You go to the park for girlies.
I knew that was coming. In my head, I could just hear you saying it. I was thinking, he's going to do it. He's going to do it.
Oh, but you know what I mean? If you're outside and you need Wi-Fi, if you're an iPhone user, that's good enough. You know, quickly check something out and that's it.
It's not a big thing for us, but again, it's just like cost is an issue.
Yeah. So, moving on, in-app purchases.
Yeah, again, it's...
I think that could turn out to be quite an expensive exercise for a user.
Yeah, there's an app that was released this week, and they were talking about, I think it was $1 to purchase the app, but to actually continually use the app, it was something like, I don't know, $2 or $3, you know, every couple of weeks.
There's going to be a lot of leeches out there trying to find ways of leeching money from people.
Well, there's another one. There's a Formula One app that's come out, and it got a lot of... It looks like it's really good because it ties in with all the timings, the live timings from the track.
Okay.
So as a Formula One fan, to see all those timings, you know, wherever you are, you know, as you know, live as cars are going around, you can see who's doing what. but you actually pay and buy the app, but then you have to pay for each race, which is, for me, is just an, I don't know, it's just too much money.
Okay. Okay, this next feature made me chuckle when I tried it out, and I didn't know about it until you reminded me.
Yep.
Shake to shuffle.
Shake to shuffle.
Shake.
Ah, if only everybody could see what I'm watching just now.
I just tried it, and it's really, really nice. So if you listen to, you know, a playlist, for example, on any album, you just shake your phone, and it shuffles in, you move on to the next track. It's really cool.
And it is nice. And you can disable it if you're a jogger, you can disable it, obviously, or else it'll be shuffling all the time. But, again, just a nice little addition. And, I think they've also added in the shake to undo as well. You know, so if you're doing your copy-paste, you can shake and it undoes.
I haven't tried that yet. That sounds really nice as well. This next feature, not really applicable to me, but I think if you're a heavy YouTube user, then you can now have account support.
Yeah, you can sign into your account on YouTube. It just means you can access your favourites really easy.
Yep.
Which is nice. And your subscriptions. So on YouTube, you can subscribe to other people's channels, basically. So again, just lets you access it.
Okay. Moving on, we have note syncing.
Yeah.
This could be useful for me. I think that sometimes I make a note on the phone, and then I think it'd be nice to have it on my Mac or my MacBook Pro as well. So, not biggie.
No, for me, I'm using Evernote, and I guess one of the nice things that with OS 3 is there's a whole lot of application updates that have came out this week or are coming out, and the Evernote, the new version of Evernote is superb.
I downloaded it. It looks really good.
Yeah, well, used to be like 25 notes, and if you wanted to get another 25 notes, you had to press a button. Now all your notes are on your iPhone. It's a lot quicker to use. You can turn it, you know, landscape and scroll through your notes. It's just far more usable.
I know you use it quite a bit, and although I have an account, I haven't really used it effectively. I'm going to maybe have to educate myself on this one, I think, because it looks like a really useful app.
It is. There's a couple of things I don't like. Some of the exporting from it's pretty weak.
Just having your notes and other articles online so you can then have access to them from anywhere. I think that's a killer thing for me.
PDFs, because you can attach PDFs to it as well.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's like I can throw the iPhone manual in and then that's it there.
Yeah. Next feature. Again, I don't know how I use it, how often I use it, but it's made me chuckle when I tried it.
I guess you hope you never do use it.
Yeah. But find my iPhone.
Yep.
I've tried it and it works really well.
Yeah. You know, did you send a message to your phone as well?
I did. In fact, then the next day I was at work and I left it on my colleague's desk and he sort of looked at me saying, "What are you doing?" I said, "Just leave it there for a minute." And then back to my desk.
You big cheese.
And I sent him a message saying, "Oi, thief, give me my iPhone back." And then I put that little alert noise as well and it started beeping and he goes, "How did you do that?" Like, Apple magic.
I thought you were going to explain it. I thought this was going to be here comes the science bit.
No, I don't want to explain. I think it's self-explanatory.
Ah, okay.
GPS.
Only caveat, you need to be a MobileMe subscriber.
Yes.
Which just, I don't know, sucks.
If Apple are hoping that this is a hook to keep subscribers subscribed to MobileMe, then I don't think it's enough.
Well, they have to do something because that's for another day.
Yeah.
I think that whole discussion around MobileMe.
The other thing, which, again, I've only recently tried it after you suggested it to me, media scrubbing.
Yeah. Well, I've been using this in the... So I guess that the way to best describe it is if you're listening to a podcast, maybe like an hour-long one, hopefully not what this is going to be, but you're listening to an hour-long podcast and you've got the scrubbing bar at the top to move along, and it's quite difficult to get some fine control. What you can do is you put your finger on the bar, and if you drag your finger down the screen, it then says, you know, half speed scrubbing and fine speed scrubbing. It just allows far better control as you scrub. And there's also a little button now in the middle. I think it's on podcasts and audiobooks for a 30-second repeat.
Yeah.
So if somebody's talked to you or mentioned something, or you just didn't catch a link that somebody said, you can just hit that button and it jumps back 30 seconds.
That's really, really nice.
Yeah.
And the other one was along the right-hand side of the media scrubber bar, there's an icon, isn't there? So it's like you can click it and it moves to automatically double speed. And
yeah.
That's really nice.
I thought they were going to make it. I thought it was going to make everybody sound like a chipmunk. You know, but actually, I've listened to a couple of podcasts at twice the speed and it's fine.
Hopefully you won't listen to our podcast at twice the speed, but, you know, the option is there. Okay. But also, I really like that feature there. I think it's going to be really useful.
Yeah, the only thing I don't know, there's a little email button.
On the left-hand side,
there's a little mail icon
in
the left-hand side. I don't know what that does.
Yeah, I clicked on it and there's nothing. There's no indication of it getting pressed. Maybe it's a locked feature for 3.1.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I think these are the main features, aren't they? I'm sure there are plenty more features sort of behind the scenes, but
I think there are, but there's a lot of them, it's either going to rely on, you know, developers to actually take advantage of, or, I mean, they've done some bits around, you know, like the parental controls, you know, so I think there's some stuff around that, but again, that's, for us, that's not really an issue.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing I think we should maybe mention is it's not a feature, but it's more of a performance boost. Speed-wise, Safari seems to be a little bit faster.
Oh, yeah. I think I really did notice the difference.
Oh, actually, I just remember that the other thing we've got here is autofill, which is quite good.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think Safari was a really nice upgrade. I mean, I noticed the speed differences, certainly, when I was using it.
The only other thing I've noticed is it's not just Safari. Like, when you're flicking between your pages, it feels a lot smoother and snappier as well.
Yeah.
As far as, like, launching applications, I can't really say I've noticed anything, but that doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah, I mean, I've, if I'm being honest, I didn't really notice anything with the app launching, but I did. I did, just general usability, just seemed that little bit faster.
Okay. So, overall? Yeah.
Well, it was good, but I don't think it's, like, I don't know, I mean, it got a lot of hype, but I don't think...
I think a lot of the features should have been there from day one anyway.
Yeah.
And it's just now they're here and along with a couple of new features. So, I mean,
I think
you've got to give a thumbs up, you know, but it's nothing revolutionary there.
No. I think for me, it's what it's given the developers. You know, it's opened up a lot more APIs. And it's the next 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, it should be really quite interesting to see what is delivered.
Okay. Well, I guess that wraps up OS 3. So, time to move on to the big thing. Da, da, da.
So, yeah. I bought a 3GS.
You dog. So, I mean, obviously I want one as well, but I haven't got one. So, why don't you tell us about it? What's new? What's good? What's bad?
Well, I guess the... what's good about it, I guess, is the speed. You know, so that's the thing that definitely hits you as soon as you fire it up. So, I guess I should cover first just how I bought it. So I've picked up the pay and go rather than actually buying a new contract. So I didn't buy out my old contract and start a new one. So
is this going to be cheaper overall for you, do you think?
It works out slightly dearer, but more flexibility next year.
Okay, so the initial cost is higher, but then you're not tied in by your balls for like the next
years or something. I mean, and the cost is high. I mean, that was £530 or whatever I handed over.
Wow.
So, and
you're a rich man.
I've got to be honest. If you'd said to me like 3-4 years ago, you're going to spend £500 in a phone and still be in a contract, I'd be like, seeing you crazy. But
I could sing the crazy song there, but I won't do.
Well, we have had requests for your singing, and I know you're tempted.
Anyway, but I mean, if you be accurate about it, yeah, your phone is quite expensive, but you're going to offset that cost, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I'm on a contract, I guess, till December, and then as soon as that contract's done, I will be swapping down to the Simplicity plan, so that'll take me down to £20 a month instead of £35.
I meant more in, like, you're obviously going to sell your 3G phone.
Oh, yeah, I've got a buyer. So I've got a buyer for my current phone who actually, last year when I bought the 3G, he says, I want first go on your phone if you sell it. And he's already said he wants to buy the 3GS next year because he knows I'm going to upgrade next year, probably.
Yeah.
So it's...
I think if I could find a buyer and then get the money off them, then I would be more tempted to get the 3GS. But I think having to fork out for it initially in the first place and then getting your money back, at the moment it's just not feasible for me, so I'm going to leave it.
I was kind of lucky because it worked out. It's just timed in with my bonus at work as well. So it was just kind of a nice timing, and it was like, well, fair enough. I'm gonna go for it. And it's funny because I think I spoke to you last week, and I said I'm not going to buy this. And then I think the next day the decision was made.
Yeah, I didn't really believe you when you said you weren't going to buy it. So did you go for a 16 gig again or
no 32? Because it was nearly full, and I've been. I've wanted to carry more music, but I've also
been juggling.
What was that?
You've been juggling then, have you?
Yeah, yeah. And it's been annoying. You know, I've been wanting to carry some more video as well. So it's the 32 gig is really good, but the best thing so far has just been how snappy the performance is. And I think alongside this podcast, when we put it up, I'll try and put up some videos just to highlight the differences.
Okay, that'd be good.
Yeah, things like, you know, launching Tiger Woods, and I tweeted about it yesterday, but if you're looking at maybe like an 8-9 second launch in the 3GS, and it's taking about 25 to 30 seconds on the 3G.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it side by side. I've made sure the network was off, so there's no email checking in the background to slow it down.
Yeah.
Even using, you know, web surfing with Safari is really nice. That's on Wi-Fi and 3G. There's I would say an almost like a doubling of the speed.
What are the physical differences?
None at all.
You know, everything's still in the same place.
Everything's if I gave you the phone, you wouldn't be able to tell it's a 3GS apart from the code.
So even though it's 32 gig, is it still the same thickness?
Yep.
That's fantastic. Because normally you'd expect like a little bit more thickness, wouldn't you?
Yep. Nothing's changed. I mean, I guess the only difference is that they're using a different camera.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that's one of the improvements.
I don't know if you've had a chance to try this yet, but you know, they were saying it's got this oil-resistant screen.
Well, it does seem to. I mean, it doesn't feel any different. I mean, I'm sitting here talking to you, and I'm actually stroking both screens. And
which is just the screens.
Yeah. For the moment.
But you know, they were saying that once you finish talking, if you just wipe it on your shirt, then it gets clean instantly rather than...
Well, the thing I notice is it's not picking up as much oil and grease as the old one did. But again, one wipe, a couple of wipes seems to clear it. Certainly the 3G, I'm really having to give it, you know, quite a bit of wipes to get it clean, which was my worry before I bought an iPhone, to be honest. Mm. So I think there is something there. I wouldn't say it's not going to keep it clear.
No.
You know, as I'm using it, most of the time it's fine, but every so often it will leave behind a fairly big fingerprint.
Okay.
But yeah, to somebody looking at it, there is no difference. Absolutely no difference, which I think is why quite a lot of people will say you're absolutely mad. You know, when you're buying this, but the performance in the 32 gig is enough for me.
I think initially when they introduced it, I thought, well, I was trying to convince myself not to buy it because of the cost, and I was saying, oh, the upgrades aren't significant enough.
Yeah.
But now that I've had time to sort of digest it all, I think there is enough in there that, you know, it's worth upgrading if you can afford it.
And I think that's the key thing. It's the if you can afford it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like one of these things where you could actually say that, yes, you know, do whatever you can to get this because it's a real essential upgrade.
No.
But if you have the money, then it's definitely worthwhile.
You know, yeah, I mean, especially if you consider that you can get some money back from selling your 3G phone, so it's not...
Well, I was quite surprised, you know, how they've held their value.
Yeah.
I actually thought, in my head, I was thinking it'll be like £100 or whatever I'll get for it.
Yeah.
And I was quite surprised when I started looking at the eBay prices and what other places online were selling it for.
I think that's what makes you realise eventually that this subsidised cost that O2 are talking about is quite significant, you know, for if you sell it on its own, then you can get a really high price for it. But we picked up quite cheap last year, didn't they, as customers? So
I mean, the contract thing I'm kind of fine with. You know, everybody else pays off their contract or has to buy it out, so that should be no different.
Yeah.
I think it was just last year, and everybody assumed that's the model that Apple know to and have in place.
Yeah.
And it was a bad assumption, really. One other thing that's really nice is a camera. So not a big jump, and it's gone from 2 to 3 megapixel, but the control that you've now got is really nice.
What's different about it then?
Well, you've got a touch to focus, I guess, is the first thing. So when you fire up the camera app now, straight away it'll focus on what is central to it. You know, so I'm firing it up just now, and I'm just pointing around the room, and you'll see a little square in the middle. But if I then, just on my finger, just touch something else, that's where the focus point changes to.
Okay.
And it's some things like, I took some pictures yesterday with the Apple keyboard. You can actually take some really nice close-up shots. You can, barcodes work really nicely. Business cards will be able to scan in. And that was one of the things that they'd, I mean, there's a whole load of apps came out for the G1 that allowed people to scan barcodes, and then it did product searches.
Yeah.
And the barcode scanning with the 3G was really poor. So I can see there being a flurry of apps, I guess, over the next month or two.
So if you take a photo with your old phone and a new one, is there like a significant difference between the same photograph? Yeah,
yeah, definitely. And that's something I'll hopefully, when I'll try and put some like photos up alongside a review, just to say that here's from the same position. I mean, it's not even like a different lighting, or I could be sitting, you know, sitting in a room, sitting outside in the garden, and from the same position you can see the difference, especially close up.
Yeah,
and it also seems to work in low light a lot better.
Well, I have seen some photographs on I think it's on Flickr, some guy in America taken. And a lot of photos where he's standing in, like, a dark area, and most of the images, like, a really bright area, so you'd expect, like, sort of variations in brightness. Mm. And it seems to work really, really well. It seems to cope quite, you know, well, a lot better than the 3G phone.
Yeah, there's still a bit of lag, so when you're taking a photo, it's not instantaneous.
Yeah.
Which would have been nicer if it was a bit more responsive.
Do you still have to touch an on-screen icon to take the photograph?
Yeah.
Why can't they just maybe the home button or something like that?
Why can't they just let me touch anywhere? Why do I have to go for a little button? Why can't it be like half the bottom, or why can't it be the whole screen? Mm. I know that I can do a hold and release, you know, so I can hold it, and when I'm happy, I'm maybe like looking at it, or I've got it pointing a certain place, I just release and it takes a photo.
Unless you're looking at the screen direct on, it's really hard to know that you've taken a photograph or not.
Yeah.
But anyway, we are complaining again.
Well, I think it just seems, you know, for Apple being the kind of user interface masters that they are, that seems a really obvious one that people have complained about before, and it fairly straightforward to fix.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the other thing that comes with this is video. And the video is... The video's actually, I mean, I think it's 640 by 480, so not, you know, it's not a fantastic resolution, but the quality's really good. I took a test video yesterday and I uploaded it onto Digital Outbox and linked it out in Twitter. It was fine, looks really good, and that was just straight from the camera. I used an app that you persuaded me to buy last year.
Is that an app you've been complaining about since last year as well?
I think it's a fantastic app. I don't know what you're talking about. It's yet another Twitter client. It's Twitterlater Pro, which I have complained about because I think it's got a really bad interface on it. But it has every feature. It has just everything. And and because I paid for it, obviously you still get the updates. So the latest update allows you to send video. So I had a quick video yesterday and sent it out. And again, yeah, it's fine. You know, and it's you can also video edit, and it actually does it really quickly, and it's just dead simple. You know, you can take a video and then you can just change the length of what you want to cut to, trim it, save, send.
Nice.
So from a user interface point of view, it's actually, and I guess this is what we talked about it before. I can't remember if it was a podcast or before we started, that if the front facing camera had come, it would probably make a lot more people use it because the usability would be there, the quality would be there compared to other phones and the experience we've had before. So maybe just a shame that I guess that'll be next year's version. And I think it's the incremental upgrades again.
I don't know how true this is, but talking about the video camera there, there's an article on the internet in the last couple of days, and somebody's basically taken apart the iPhone 3GS, and they're saying the chip that they use for the camera that can apparently record up to 720p video.
Yeah, I read a headline about that. I didn't actually read the article.
Yeah, I didn't read it in detail, but that's what they're saying, that it can do, but it's been locked to
not... I know the chip. I mean, if you look at the current 3G, the chip was a 600 megahertz, but they clocked it at 400 for, you know, battery and heat.
Yeah.
And I know the chip on the 3GS, I think they're saying it's 600 megahertz, but it's actually a 750 or 7...
I think, for some reason I've got a figure of 833 in my head.
It is,
and then they've sort of underclocked it to either 600 or 700. I can't remember the exact figure.
They're underclocking it because it helps with heat and it helps with performance and battery.
Yeah.
But you just wonder, is that so they can, a future update, they could actually increase the speeds? You know, if a competitor came out and there was a there was a reason to actually up the speed.
Well, nice thought, but because they never did it with the 3G, so you think, well, they're going to do it with the 3G.
Exactly. So I can't see it happening. The same with the 720p camera. I can't see there being an update and saying, by the way, you can now shoot 720p. It'd be nice, but I can't see it.
I'd imagine they've probably done a few sort of tests and thought, right, okay, theoretical speeds are fine, you know, discussing about them, but in reality, you want to sort of undercloak it, make it more stable so it doesn't crash or anything like that.
Yeah.
Which I can understand, I guess.
Yeah. So, and I guess the other noticeable new feature is the voice control, which I was quite surprised because it actually works. I remember when the Google Voice Control app came out, and it just didn't work for me. I had to speak with a kind of American accent to try and get anywhere near it working.
Ah,
but it worked. I forgot about that. The only kind of annoying thing is that you need to press the home button down for it to activate. And you have to actually press for about 3 seconds before it kicks in.
Right.
But then once it's kicked in, it's worked more times than it's not for me. There's been a couple of times where it's either tried to dial the wrong thing or it's not worked. And it's tried to play a bit of music instead of calling somebody. But I called you on it, you know, yesterday. And that was, you know, the first time I tried it, and it worked really well.
So how does it pick up between different phone numbers for different people then?
You can either, the first time you use it, you can say, like, call Shaquille mobile, or you can, and it'll go to your mobile, or you can say, call Shaquille, and then it'll say, call Shaquille name, you know, home, mobile, or work, and you just say mobile, and says, calling Shaquille mobile. Even playing music, so you can press a button, and you can say playlist, so I might have a playlist drive, so you can do playlist drive, and it'll pick that playlist, and then you can say shuffle, and it'll shuffle them. or you can say... you can actually ask for a certain artist. So you can say play, I don't know, U2, and it'll play U2. And then you can say, I can't remember, is it play Genius with this particular track? So when you call it up, all the controls are in the background. So you can phone, you can shuffle, you can say previous track and next track. You can also say, what song is this? So if there's songs playing, you can say, what song is this? And then it'll tell you the artist and the album.
Yeah. Is this, do you think, something you would use a lot? Or
I think when I'm driving, I can see it being quite handy.
Oh,
apart from that, that's true. Apart from that,
I
wouldn't use it. Yeah. I'm not going to sit at work and press a button and call Shaquille!
play Kylie Minogue.
Yeah, but it also works through the headset as well. So you can hold down the button on the headset, so you don't need to hold the button on the phone. So again, you could have it tucked away in a pocket and you could be using it.
That's if you use Apple's own headset, though.
Yes, which I do.
Oh, right, okay. I don't, you see. But that's a different subject.
That is a different subject, but I mean, if you are using a headset, it's quite a nice feature.
Mm.
And obviously, there is the fantastic digital compass, which I don't know. It's a digital compass, and it works. Is about all I can say. The interesting thing, because they showed you on the Maps app the little cone of where you're pointing to. But when you actually use it, your first time you use it, you're like, well, where's my little cone? So you need to press, you know how you press your location button in the bottom left of the Maps app?
Yeah.
You press that, and then when you press it again, you actually get the compass appear, and you get this little cone. And as you turn your iPhone, it does actually tie up with where you're looking.
Is it accurate then?
Yeah, very accurate. You know, so again, I'm pressed it just now, and it's got me facing the right way. You know, so where the phone's facing is exactly where the cone's pointing. So it'll be interesting tomorrow. I'm actually doing a hill walk tomorrow, so I'll be taking my iPhone 3GS out, and that'll be its first time out and about, and we'll see how good it is, you know, away from the city.
That battery pack you bought for your old phone, is that still working with this one?
Yeah,
then?
It still works, yeah. Good. So that was the only good thing, that they didn't change, again, because I've not changed any physical, you know, any of the attachments that worked on 3G will work on 3GS.
I remember reading about something like the headphone socket having been moved, but I don't know whether that was one of those rumours that never happened.
No, that was a rumour. I mean, it isn't exactly the same place.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about the headphone socket changing, the microphone, the speaker had moved slightly up as well in one of the rumour ones. But I think that was just the kind of everybody wanted the front-facing camera, so that was the rumour at the time. And one little thing that has changed, the mains adapter, which I know is like trivial, but it's actually the same size as a plug now. So it's not bulky, it's not big. It's just a plug with a USB socket in the bottom. So that allows you to charge. Okay. So it's just really, you know.
Is it still in like two bits?
No.
Just one whole piece?
So it's just a little, it's just a, you think a normal UK plug, and at the bottom where the cable comes out, there's a USB socket.
Oh, okay. That's much better.
That is a lot better. And the box itself for the iPhone is really small. You know, it's just like the size of an iPhone by about maybe like 7 or 8 times its height. So, but yeah, so that's a 3GS.
So are you pleased you bought it?
Oh, yes. I use it a lot. You know, there's no getting away from it. It's not just, you know, if I'm away travelling, it's usually, what, every couple of weeks I'm away travelling. Yeah. And I can do all my Google Reader through it, all my email, contacts, all my media's on it, my games are on it.
Yeah.
It's fantastic, you know, and I'm getting more usage out of this than I have done any other phone that I've had, the PSP that I would just to carry around with me, or the iPod I used to carry around. And the performance, I'm going to see that performance difference all the time. It's not just on certain things, you know, app launching's a lot better. Even daft things like firing up Calendar, you can see the difference firing up the same calendars in the 3G and the 3GS. It's just so much snappier. And the web browsing is really quick.
I think of all the features that are in there, like I said, you know, before I was trying to talk myself out of it, saying, oh, it's not a big deal. But I think speed-wise, it's always nice to have more speed. And, you know, I would like that for that. And extra capacity, I would love to have that as well. And I think one other thing, which I don't know how strongly you feel about that, it's just the video capability.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to take just little clips, you know, and then send them or use them for whatever.
Well, hopefully
compass thing, not hugely bothered with it.
No. That's a really small, I mean, to say that it's a big new feature.
Unless it limits any of the navigation software that are coming out, I can't imagine it would do, because navigation software should be using GPS anyway, so. And voice control, I think, nice to have, but you know, again, not a biggie.
No, and I'm in violent agreement, to be honest. I mean, tomorrow will be quite a nice test, because although I'll take the Panasonic along, I'll try and do a bit more camera shots with the iPhone, just so we can, you know, I can post up some differences, and I'll try and take some video as well.
I just remember something that's important. Battery life. Is it worse, or do you think it's just the same?
Well,
because I know you had some issues, didn't you?
It's definitely not any worse. Well, when I did the 3.0 upgrade, I thought the battery life deteriorated after the upgrade. But I've read other people saying that it made no impact. But for me, I felt it was maybe like a couple of hours less than what I was getting out of the previous operating system.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I noticed was I didn't notice it being less, but I noticed my indicator wasn't accurate anymore, because it was saying it was still full when I was actually only had like 20% battery life left.
Yeah, I had that in the old operating systems a couple of times. You know, I'd go through the day and I was like, oh, I've not used up any battery. And I would switch it off and on, like fully off and on, not just like I put it, you know, so the whole thing, I would shut it down. When I started it up, I had like 5% left.
Yeah.
But no, I guess the good thing is I haven't noticed the battery life being an issue, so I don't think it's any worse.
Right, good.
A gut feel, considering how much I've used it, it might be slightly better.
Mm.
Which I guess I'm only going to know that probably over the next week or two.
Okay.
So just, I guess, one other little just footnote on this was that when I went through Glasgow yesterday, O2 and Carrefour warehouse stores were empty. So it was 8 o'clock, and last year at the 3G launch, there was a queue at each of them. My local O2 store that I drove by to get to the Apple store, there must have been about 20, 30 people at the store. Yesterday, yeah. There was nobody. I felt quite sorry. There was these 5 shop assistants all standing at the door looking keen as mustard, and there was just nobody there.
Yeah.
And the Apple store actually had about maybe 30 to 40 people. So not as popular as the 3G launch. But
didn't O2, you just waltz in anyway past them all when you went to buy yours?
You can go into the Apple website and you can book a personal shopper appointment. So I just booked it for 8 o'clock, and that was
Did he call you sir when he walked in?
No, he was like, "What's your name?" And I says, "It's Ian." "Hello, Ian. We'll serve you soon. You don't need to wait in the queue. We just need to process these guys that are already being served." I waited 10 minutes. I heard somebody in the queue moaning. And I thought, nay luck, learn how to use a computer. And I bought my iPhone.
Nice.
But I did see that the O2 put a press release yesterday saying that that the 3GS launch was a bigger launch than the 3G. They sold on day one. And I'm convinced that's just because they've got more stock. There's no way it was more popular.
No. You know, I mean, I've seen some photographs on the internet where people have been queuing up when other people were expecting there to be no queues.
Mm.
And, you know, considering the fact that it's more expensive, I'm, yeah, surprised that there were any people there at all.
Mm.
And even what made me laugh was compared to the Palm pre-launch photographs, the 3GS still looked like more sort of busy.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay.
Yeah, I still do want to tamper around with a Palm.
Yeah.
It does look nice. So will we do some picks then to close this off?
Yep. So what's your pick for this week?
Well, I thought, seeing as we've been prattling on about the iPhone, I would pick one of the games that I've just downloaded recently. It's called Real Racing. As you know, I quite like things like Forza and Gran Turismo and the more kind of realistic console racing games. And I've actually avoided any racing games up to now on the iPhone. They all just looked a bit kind of arcadey or just a bit shallow. Real Racing is actually very impressive. It's you use the accelerometer to control it, and you've got a few control options in there. You can actually let the game accelerate for you, or you can use, you know, your fingers to accelerate and brake.
I'm not sure about steering with the accelerometer. How does that feel?
Really nice.
Oh.
Really, really nice. And it's the graphics are really solid on it as well. In car. You can see your steering wheel and the guy changing gears, and and it's all track racing. I think that it's like you're racing against 5 other cars. So it's got a full career mode in the game, but there's also online championships as well. So you can join an online league. You don't actually see the other people you're racing. You're basically just posting times, and then the fastest comes top. But very, very solid game. And again, I guess just touching on the performance, works fine on the 3G. But on the 3GS, you can notice like A, it launches quicker, but also B, there's no frame rate issues through the game. A couple of times in the 3G, you've got, when there's other cars on the track, you can just notice a bit of shuddering. And I always thought, is it the 3G or is it my email client right now checking something? You know, so you know that's running in the background anyway. But in the 3GS, it's smooth as.
So are you going to be like slagging me off about my 3G phone now being backwards or something like that for whatever.
I might slag you off about your old phone and your old technology. But
okay.
No, I'm sure I won't. I'm sure you're going to upgrade soon anyway. I know what you're like.
We'll see.
That says it all. So what about yourself? Any picks?
Sorry?
Any picks from you?
Yep. Again, I thought I'd stick with the iPhone as well. And it's another game. It's a free one.
It's called, even better.
paper toss.
Ah, yes.
Concept is really simple. You've got like an office environment with a paper bucket at one end, and you have to flick this paper ball into it just by using your finger to flick. There's three difficulty levels. The easy one, the bucket is like really close to you. Then obviously as you go up the higher difficulty, the bucket gets further and further away. But the interesting idea is you have a fan that's been introduced to add an element of complexity. And the fan sort of switches from left to right. So you always have this sort of wind factor. So you have to take that into account when you flick. And for a free game, graphics are, you know, obviously everything's static except for the paper ball and the fan. But graphics are really, you know, really spot on, just perfect for the game itself. And the actual playability is superb. I mean, I downloaded it and I thought, right, 2 minutes of gameplay and that's it, now I'm going to touch it again. But it's been like three, four days now, I've been playing it non-stop.
I downloaded it as well, and it's really nice. For a freebie. And that's the nice thing about the App Store.
Well, the thing is, I don't know whether it's going to be free forever, because it does say in the description that free for like an introductory period. Mm. So if you're interested, go and grab it while it's still free before the price goes up.
Yep, good advice.
Yes, thank you. So I guess we can wrap this up now.
You know? Yes, just under the hour, which makes a change. Usually when we wrap it on about Apple, we'll talk for a couple of hours.
Yep. So, as always, thanks for joining us. And if you want to find out more, you can find us at our brand new website at www.digitaloutbox.com. Or you can email us at info@digitaloutbox.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at Digital Outbox. One thing that's quite interesting that Ian sort of decided would be a good idea.
Decided? I don't decide.
If you're an iPhone user and you've upgraded to OS 3, then you can record a voice memo for any questions that you might have or any feedback, and then you can email us that voice memo. And, you know, if it's something interesting, we might add it into our next podcast.
Well, there's no mics about it. Send us a question or a query or something that you want to say, and we'll add it in.
Good. So hopefully we'll catch you all next time. Before I go, I don't know whether we need to do this. Where can we find you, Ian?
You can find me on iand.net or on Twitter as Shweepa. Shweepa.
Okay, well, but do you have a Facebook account at all?
Yeah, I do. And I guess I've got one of these vanity accounts now, so you can facebook.com/iandick. I even got an email off another Iandick saying I'd stolen his account.
Nice.
So some little dweeb somewhere says, hey, you've stolen my account.
Don't tell me you were up at 5 o'clock just so you can grab your URL.
No, about 5 past 5.
Okay.
No, it was just the next night. The next night I just logged in and it was available.
Yeah.
So what about yourself? Where can we find you?
You can find me at ShaquilleNaim.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at ShaqN. And I also have a Facebook account, which is facebook.com/ShaquilleNaim.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. You can find all of these links on our show notes, which will be accompanied by this podcast. So until next time, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.